Hey everybody, this is Adam Mattes, and this is part two of a two-part conversation with Kristen Peek of Rivals.com and Yahoo Sports. Part one was fantastic, and you're going to want to listen to that one before getting into this one. This one kind of picks up right in the middle of that conversation, and it goes into more detail about Bol Bol, a more, you know, sort of behind-the-scenes look at who he is as a player and as a person, and then also some great insights about Michael Porter Jr. and Jared Vanderbilt, two guys that Kristen has experience covering as well and knows at least somewhat on a personal level. At the end of this, there's also some really cool information about the upcoming draft classes and why Kristen thinks that the 2021 and 22 drafts will be two of the best we've ever seen in the NBA. So lots of great stuff. But again, this is part two. If you missed part one, it is also available on all podcast platforms and apps. Without further ado, let's get into the show.
What do you think the Nuggets can do to help him succeed? Well, and first of all, you kind of made it sound like Denver was a good landing spot for him. So I guess why do you think that? And then also, what is going to be the key for them, for the Nuggets, in getting the most out of him?
I mean, I think it's a great market for him. It's not somewhere like Los Angeles or New York, Chicago, yeah. Boston, a big city where he can kind of get in trouble. And the fan base, I think, is a little more forgiving. Like, Denver fans are nice. You guys are nice. Maybe I just know like my brother and his friends and a couple high school friends, but and like the fact that you guys have, it's a younger team. Yeah. And you got guys like Mike Porter and Jared Vanderbilt who Bol has played with. Like Bol's played with Mike Porter at the USA basketball training camp. Yeah. So they're familiar with each other, and so it doesn't really feel like you're alone. You know, when you go to a team that's a little more established and they have families and they, you know, have kids and they have a life, you kind of feel isolated. So I think with Denver, it's a good fit for him because he'll be able to grow a little more comfortably.
Yeah. I think this is such an interesting point because Denver has a super young team. And then you've got, and like Will Barton, who's kind of young at heart, you know, I mean, but then you have Paul Millsap, who's older than his age. He's, I think, 33, but going on like 50. But he's a guy that when he's the old guy, he talks about how these young guys give him energy because it's like, you know, I'm sure at a distance, I don't think he's at the club with them or anything, but just kind of being around guys with all that energy, he's like, he likes it. If it was reversed, and as you mentioned, you're talking about a 19-year-old or 18-year-old joining a group of 30-something-year-old guys, that's an insurmountable age gap. Like that, I think, would be a disaster for most people because, quite frankly, how many 18-year-olds are friends with 35-year-olds? Not very many.
Right.
And being in a working environment where it's like, hey, man, you're weighing us down, in addition to being 15 years younger, is I don't think people grasp how strange that those relationship dynamics are.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and speaking to, like, when you looked at, you know, when LeBron went to the Lakers and you've got guys like Kyle Kuzma, Brandon Ingram, and Lonzo Ball, and they're looking at him like, yo, you were my idol growing up, and now we're playing with you.
Right.
You know, and trying to find that chemistry, it's so hard, you know, it's almost impossible.
And you know how it is too. Like LeBron James is not a perfect human being. I think he's a great human, you know, the great basketball player, all these things. But when you idolize somebody as this like God, and then you get to see them on their worst days, that could be a real, you know, it could be a disenchanting, I guess, or something like that. And when you're on a team, you see everybody at their best and their worst because you're around them so much. So they become people to you in ways that I think for an 18-year-old can be pretty hard.
Yeah. I'm curious to see who Bol hangs out with on
Me
the
too.
Nuggets.
Me too.
I think Jared Vanderbilt is my strong favorite right now, I think, because they're – like Jared's got – I don't know how well you know Jared, but he's got kind of like a jokester side to him.
Ah. No, yeah. We're going to – that's a good segue because actually, let me ask you one more question here, then we'll go to break because I want to talk about Jared Vanderbilt and Michael Porter Jr. But do you sort of see a redshirt year for him? I mean, do you think the best would be, even if he's not redshirted and plays a little bit and plays in the G League, do you see this as more of a year of like, you just be on the team, kind of sit with him, do practice, and don't expect to put him on the court?
Yes, because nobody knows how Bol's game is going to translate at the NBA level.
Yeah.
Like, he can knock it down from three. I think he shot, what, 53% from the three-point line in nine games, which is still pretty impressive.
Yeah.
But you can't put him on the wing
Yeah.
Like it's going to be weird to see. There is no comparison for him at the next level. So I think it's going to be a slow transition of how can we make him fit in the rotation and the offense. He needs to put some weight on for sure. So yeah, I see this as a redshirt year. 100%.
Yeah. Okay. All right, well, let's take a break. And then as I teased, we're going to talk about Michael Porter Jr. and Jared Vanderbilt because we don't know almost anything about them. And Kristen has a great insight into them as well. Take a break. We'll be right back. All right, today's show is brought to you by Grip 6 Ultra Lightweight Belts with no holes, no flaps. You can go to grip6.com/lock to check them out. If you're looking for a new belt, I highly recommend these ones. They're affordable and they fit really, really well. They're tailored to whatever your waist size is. So you tell them the weight size and then you get a belt that just fits perfect. It's really cool. And I'm here with Kristen Peake, contributor at rivals.com, Yahoo Sports, and knows the high school and college recruiting scene as well as anyone. So we're going to ask you about somebody that has played for basically 2 years. And I'm going to premise it by this. A year ago, I was on Rivals.com as I was preparing for the show. A year ago, you and a bunch of other people were asked to pick the best recruit from 2017, 18, and 19. So kind of looking at a three-year rolling, like who was the best you saw? And you picked Michael Porter Jr. Do you still sort of feel that way when we're just talking about high school prospect, the high school level, that he's the best you've seen over the last 3 years?
Well, Zion Williamson now, for sure.
Well, he had an incredible college season.
He was pretty ridiculous in high school as well.
Yeah.
But Mike Porter, man, he was something else in high school. So fast in transition, could knock it down. Like, he had a very Kevin Durant-ish jump shot.
Yeah.
Just, like, could knock it down from anywhere. Played above the rim, was a great teammate. Him and Trae Young are actually best friends.
Right, right.
And yep. So to see them play on Team USA together was awesome. I saw Jontay Porter at the draft combine. I said, "How's Mike doing?" He said, "Oh, he's at the Bahamas with Trae Young." I'm like, "Of course he is. They're still best friends. Amazing."
Yeah.
So yeah, Mike in high school, man, he was something else. I kind of feel bad for basketball fans in general that didn't get a chance to see him at that level.
Yeah.
Because he just dominated every game, every position, every player.
Yeah. And maybe there's still a chance for him to get back. We're going to learn a lot, I think, in a week and a half. I can't wait. There's, I don't know the last time I've been this excited for us, like a debut.
Oh, man.
It's been quite a while.
Yeah.
But so
Summer League is going to be so ridiculous this year.
Are you
going to
be there?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, awesome. Okay, I didn't know that. I guess that, yeah, you were there last year. That's where we met. So Michael Porter Jr. at that level, I mean, we know sort of the skill set, but you saw him go up against other sort of top prospects and shine even amongst them? Or was it, you mentioned Zion going up against like some regular guys. Did you see Michael Porter at the highest levels kind of doing those things?
Yeah, but then again, he went to just like a basic high school, you know, up in Washington. So at the high school level, it wasn't. I think at one point he played Marvin Bagley, and that was like a really big game.
Yeah.
Did well against Marvin Bagley, but, you know, different positions. Not like they were guarding each other. So, but yeah, I mean, like these guys, they all go up against each other on EYBL. He ducked. Oh my gosh. Wait, he did bitch out on one game. It was that Peach Jam. And him and Trae Young, they played on the same team for Mocan Elite, and they were playing against Gary Trent Jr., who's now up in Portland.
Yeah.
Was a shooting guard at Duke, and man, Gary locked down Mike in like the worst way. And Mike just like gave up. It's like, Mike, you are 5 inches and about so like 20 pounds heavier than this kid, and you're just letting him lock you up. You know, so that was the only game where I was like, come on, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was the only time I saw it, though.
That's too funny. Have you gotten to know him as a person? I mean, how much time have you spent sort of interviewing him or talking to him?
Oh, yeah. Like, that whole family is, I mean, here's the thing. Like, I am the only female that covers grassroots basketball. So I walk into the gym, and it's, if a mom is there, and if I'm talking to her son, I want to make sure that the family is comfortable with me talking to their high school kid, you know, so I get to know the moms really well. Mike's mom is awesome. She's so great. I think a lot of people during the draft process last year, you probably heard these rumors how she was a little overbearing and the family was like, there's seven of them, there's seven kids, and they were more of like a cultish sort of family. But I've seen her kind of back off a little bit, you know, and let him kind of do his own thing in Denver. But yeah, I've known that family. I think I saw Mike. Oh my gosh. I remember when I saw Mike the first time. He was at a Steph Curry camp and he had braces. Oh man, he was so like such a little kid. Right. And so I think he was about 16. And they were playing King of the Court and he won his side of the court. And then Dennis Smith Jr. won his side. So they had to go up against each other and Mike, and it was first to five and, or win by two. And Mike was up 4-1 and Steph Curry's watching him. He's like, man, this young kid, like he's about to beat Dennis Smith Jr., the top point guard in all of high school basketball. Yeah. And then Dennis came back and won 8-6. But at draft night, I asked Mike, I was like, you want a rematch? He's like, of course I want a rematch. Like, let's go, Dennis, you know?
Yeah, that's funny. So I've heard good and bad things about his personality as well. And so some of the good, I've heard that he is insanely competitive. And that's why you talking about, hearing you say this Gary Trent Jr. story is really shocking to me. Because I've heard the guy is like,
but that was the over 3 or 4 years. That was the only time I saw him bitch out, you know, okay, one game.
Yeah, because I've heard he's the type that, like, if they do a drill in practice and he loses, he forces everyone to stay till he wins, and then it's over or something like that. So I heard he's, like, ridiculously competitive and driven, and you can kind of see it in, like, his diet and his body. I mean, you could tell sometimes 18-year-olds that come in with, like, really, really, like, sculpted bodies are either naturally gifted athletes or just super disciplined with their diets and stuff, and I've heard he's, I think, both.
He's a vegetarian.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So I've heard that part of it. But then also I've just heard that he too, like you said with Bol Bol, he's a really weird, just weird personality. He's a bit different. Can you attest to that at all? Or is that another just sort of rumor that gains legs?
No, he's not a weird kid at all. I think he's way more personable than Bol is. And way more. Yeah. Like you can see it on Twitter. Like I remember I saw a tweet where a fan said, you know, Mike, I tried to wait around and see you. And he quote tweeted and he said, come 2 hours before practice and shoot around and I'll say hi.
Yeah. Huh.
You know, so
I'd
squash that 1,000 times over. I went to the Nuggets Mavericks game this year. I took my brother and then my little niece.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw him after the game. And I said to him, I was like, Mike, when can I get a pair of Pumas? And he's like, take my number, I'll send you a pair. And like a week later, he's like, KP, what's your address? And he sent me a pair of Pumas, you know?
I'm going to start having you, and you're going to tell people you wear size 15 men's. they might catch on to this racket, but I'll slip you $20.
I know, that was the thing. I was like, I'm a size 7, Mike. And he's like, I got you.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to be able to get me shoes. What about Jared Vanderbilt? Same kind of questions. How much did you get to see him play, and what did you think of him?
Let me tell you something about Jared, okay?
Okay.
He
I love this story already.
I didn't see him play a lot in high school because that kid was injured more than any player I've ever seen on the face of the earth. And this is what I told my brother when he's like, oh, Jared Vanderbilt, should we be excited? He's playing. And I said, listen, you'll see Jared play about 4 games and you'll get excited and you'll get your hopes up and then he'll rip your heart out 1,000 times over because he'll just get hurt again. But he's stayed pretty healthy, hasn't he?
I mean, doing workouts and things like that, yeah. And I think Denver probably wisely knows, like, okay, we spent the whole year just more or less letting him get rehabbed. I think he probably could have come back sooner. Most organizations would have brought him back a little bit sooner. But, you know, that's why I don't expect Bol Bol to play Summer League, even though Denver hasn't ruled it out publicly yet. It's just,
he's not playing.
Oh, you know for sure.
I mean,
yeah, okay.
I don't think he's playing.
Okay. So you're not breaking any news, but
I'm not breaking any news, but...
Okay.
When I asked him, it sounded very, like, very unlikely.
I watch the show Billions, and whenever they have like illegal inside information, they just say, I am not uncertain. So you are not uncertain that he will not play. And I expect, and look, logically is the same thing with Jared Vanderbilt. You have a broken foot. Why put you out on summer league? Why not just make sure, even if you're cleared, why not just make sure that we don't put you in position to re-injure it and waste more time? So I imagine he'll be short, but with Jared Vanderbilt, so are there any things you've heard about him? I guess you haven't seen him play a lot, but are there any things you've heard about him just as a player?
Yeah, that's another, I ran into his mom again at that Mavericks Nuggets game I went to. It was funny because my niece Vivi, you know, we're standing in line and I see like Mike Porter's mom was there and Jared's mom was there. And so I just am catching up with them and my niece Vivi, she's just like, "Aunt Kristen, you know everyone." I'm like, "What?"
It's a good trait. I mean, yeah. That's what it takes in this business.
But Jared's a great kid. He's a jokester, definitely a practical jokester. He's, you know, from Texas, really close-knit family. Again, injury prone.
Yeah.
But his mom was so excited that he landed in Denver. She, again, thought it was like a perfect market for him.
Yeah.
You know, and him and Monte Morris look like they've become best of friends.
Yeah.
So I'm really happy for him and Mike both landing on there. Like, you guys, you really made up for that Donovan Mitchell trade.
The right.
Like right. getting steals of the draft 2 years in a row.
Yeah. I'm hoping to have Jared on the show. I don't want to spoil it because I don't know that it's going to happen. But I've been begging Pete Nuggets PR to let me have him on the show the week of Summer League camp. And so keep your fingers crossed. I'm really hopeful because nobody here in Denver, we haven't gotten to know him yet. So
yeah,
it'd kind of be a great introduction for him.
He's a great kid.
He seems like it. You know, my favorite underrated trait about him, NBA player, and you probably noticed this, when you interview a player, they speak so softly, or most of them speak so softly. It's like it's again, that uncomfortable, so I'm not going to talk too loud. Jared Vanderbilt almost screams into the microphone, and I find it hilarious, but also like great, because I don't have to stick my microphone like inside of his mouth to get the audio.
Yeah, you're
going
to have to do that with Bull, for sure.
Let me just ask you big picture, and we'll go quickly through this because I know we're short on time now, but next year's draft, just grade it, like how strong of a draft do you feel? It's a little early, but how strong of a draft do you feel like it'll be?
All right. I just did a mock draft for the Way Too Early 2020 draft, and there are two stops NBA execs need to make, and it's not Duke or Kentucky next year. It's Memphis.
Right, yes!
And
Mike Miller and Penny.
I just saw Mike Miller last week, and I was like, "Mike, you guys are like the shiny new toy that everyone wants to check out. It's unbelievable." And he said, "Hey, I got them there. It's Penny's job to make it work."
Oh, I love it.
Yeah. And Mike, oh my gosh, he was telling me all these stories about when he played on Denver and how, because he was saying, you know, "Oh, my family's from North Dakota. I once had to drive from Denver to North Dakota and flying Frontier." He's like, "Frontier Airlines is the worst airline in the entire world."
Yeah.
Like, so funny. So they've got a kid, James Wiseman, who's a center, which after looking at the trend of this draft, there was only one center drafted in the first round. So maybe I'll drop him a little bit, but he's already NBA ready. And then this other kid, Precious Achiuwa, who's just a pure scorer. And then up at Washington, oh my gosh, you want to see some kid dominate. There's this kid, Isaiah Stewart. He's about 6'10", just a brick. And I said to him, I was like, "Isaiah, who is going to stop you in the Pac-12 next year? Honestly, like, who's going to stop you in the lane?" He's like, "Why do you think I went there?" That I know.
I love it.
It's amazing. And
smart.
Then,
I like this guy.
Yeah. Oh, he's so good. And then Jaden McDaniels, who's another 5-star wing. He's 6'10". Similar, like really skinny kid, really nice outside shot. But then again, like there's going to be a million point guards coming out next year.
Yeah.
It's like this kid, Anthony Edwards, he's going to Georgia. Georgia plays Memphis. Go ahead and circle that game on your calendar. I know you don't watch college basketball, but.
Well, I mean, I don't like watch it well enough to speak about it. I watch it, but yeah, I don't study it like I study the NBA.
Yeah, we were at the Charlottesville airport in Virginia, and Mike Miller was there, and an assistant at Georgia was there, they're already kind of smack talking about the matchup, and Mike's like, hey, make sure all your starters are injured, all right? Like, so that game's going to be great because of Anthony Edwards. And then RJ Hampton, who's a point guard, he's electing to go play overseas in Australia, along with LaMelo Ball. And I hate to say it, I saw him play at the Drew League. He's a 6'7 point guard.
Yeah.
So LaVar Ball is here to stay because LaMelo is going to be pretty good. But you guys have a first round draft pick next year, right?
Yeah. And hopefully it'll be like the 28th pick.
Oh.
Or 29th or 30th, because that would mean Denver's really good.
Yeah. So you want a late pick. But there'll be like, you could get a backup point guard for Jamal Murray next year for sure. Mm. Oh, you know who I really want you guys to draft now that I'm thinking of it? Trey Jones, the point guard from
Duke. Oh, yeah. We already have a Trey Jones, though, in Monte Morris. They're like the same guy. Super low mistake, super smart.
Yeah.
A little bit undersized.
I forgot about Monte. Okay, yeah. So maybe you guys don't need a point guard.
If history, you know, sort of points, we need the player that's hurt, you know, super high upside, but needs a year to kind of recover. That'll be who they take.
All right. Well, if you need a big, then that's definitely Vernon Carey Jr. He's going to Duke next year. He might fall next up, but he's super, super, super good center.
You were talking about Penny and Mike. I'm as if somebody grew up in like the 90s and 2000s. There's nobody that's like the best duo ever for just like cool factor. And I know kids these days probably only know those guys through like YouTube and Basketball Reference. But if I was a blue chipper, I would 100% be in Memphis right now.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. Like, I hadn't heard Memphis brought up in any top kids recruiting like interest at all. And now all of a sudden it's like, oh, I want to take a visit to Memphis. I'm like, huh? What?
Yeah.
it's interesting to see if Juwan Howard up at Michigan will have that same effect as well.
Man, Juwan Howard seems like, as much as I really like him, former Nugget, he seems like the lamest of the Fab Five. You know, just he seems a little bit more of like the oldest also, so I don't know. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, he's got a kid, this kid, Jet Howard. He's an incoming junior, I think, this year. He's really good. So I think Michigan hired Juwan for recruiting purposes for his son, Jet. So we'll see what happens.
Lastly here, two last things here. So I keep hearing that the 2021 and 2022 drafts, the 2022, because that's when the age limit will drop. So it'll kind of be like a double draft class where you get the best high school and college players. But I keep hearing that those drafts in particular get better. Is it too early to really have a feel for not next year, but coming down the line the next couple years?
No. The 2021 draft class is going to be my favorite draft class of all time.
Oh,
and
man.
I've been saying this for about 3 years. I'm like, every draft show, I'm like, can we talk about the 2021 draft? They're like, no, 2 years away. We're not going to talk about that. But when I saw, it's so deep with talent. Oh my gosh. Like, we're talking about this kid, Cade Cunningham, who is one of the best guards I've ever seen. 6'5", can guard, defend. The 1, 2, and 3 and plays the 1, 2, and 3. He's kind of gone up the ranks. And then this other kid, Evan Mobley, he's a center. Similar to Bol Bol, but a better Bol Bol, I would say. He's going to USC. His dad's the assistant coach there. But the talent is so deep. And the 2022 class, is that what they're saying, that that's going to be that year? Because I heard they might drop it one more year.
I could be wrong on this, but I heard 2022. So
okay. I hope so, because that class is ridiculous too. Right now it's gotten to a point where college coaches will go see, you know, the U16s play, and they'll watch these kids and be like, well, he's not going to college.
Yeah.
Well, I'm wasting my time sitting here.
Right. This is so wild. And it fits kind of my theory about the league just getting better and better and better. And you look at the talent over the last really 10 years, but even over the last like 4 or 5, it just seems like so many really talented players. And then also a bit of a cultural shift. I mean, we saw with Zion, with how talented he is, and a lot of this is just credit to him, but I do feel like there's a sort of zeitgeist with these players where maybe 20 years ago, he would have been trying to score a lot more and, you know, maybe doing stuff different. Now they're just coming in with this idea of like, no, the team game and just these high character guys. And it just seems, I'm so excited for the future of basketball.
Oh, I know. And I see it like at a different level. Do you know what I mean? Like, I see it gradually as they're coming up.
Yeah.
So it makes me even more excited. like the draft night, the NBA draft night is my favorite night of the year. It's like I'm a proud big sister and it's graduation right. and I'm watching all of these kids realize their dreams.
Yeah.
So again, 2021 draft class, that's my jam right there. I'm so excited.
Well, Kristen, this has been incredible. This has been an A-plus show, and you've provided so much interesting stuff, not just about Bol Bol, but Michael Porter Jr., Jared Vanderbilt, everything else. Thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah, anytime. I'll see you at Summer League.
We might have to make this an annual tradition now, I think, every draft.
You guys keep drafting. My brother said, he sent me a text. I told you this. He sent me a text that said, Mike Porter and Bol Bol in Denver, or to the Nuggets. When are you moving to Denver? And I'm like, I should move to Denver. They're like my favorite. You guys just keep drafting all my favorite players.
We would welcome you here. We don't there's not too many people. We're trying to close the borders, but you know what? We'll keep them open for one more person.
Oh, appreciate it. I am a native, so we're good.
Oh, that's true.
Like, I'd be returning.
I can't tell. Yeah, exactly. You already have free reign. So thank you so much, Kristen. I really appreciate it. And thanks to everybody for tuning in. I'm going to be back this week and with all new content. And then obviously next week we get ready for Summer League and we'll kind of be back to doing four or five shows a week for the next couple after that. So thanks for tuning in. Stay tuned in and keep checking back with DenverStiffs.com. And we'll see everybody there.
Thank you for listening to the Locked on Nuggets podcast. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes and visit us on the web at DenverStiffs.com.